encourage, you know, this morning that we were just pushing through there this morning. I just thought that was great. And just to continue to push through, we had a wee touch there this morning. And, you know, at any stage here this morning, we could have just stopped. You know, I just sort of felt, I said to Jack, did you just feel that? That's the presence of God just suddenly come in. And it's just like, and it's like, now we just build on it. And then it just started to wane away a bit there. And I just thought, yeah, we're losing it here. It's just like, just need to push it. And then break through again. And so there was two or three times there where, you know, we just got to lift it a wee bit and just push, you know. Don't just say, oh, that's it, worship's finished. We go on, you know. And so we heard a number of words this morning, and a lot of us should be able to get something out of what was said there this morning when God was just speaking to us. And so we need to listen to what God was saying. He's got some amazing things there. And even though we thought at times things had were finished in this place and, you know, and wasn't going to come to fruition, he said, I'm still there. I hear your cry. I hear your heart. And in the worship there, someone was just saying this morning there that, you know, I hear your cry in the worship. You know, sometimes when we're worshiping, you know, and we think, well, yeah, I'm worshiping, but God actually hears what's coming out of your heart and the cry that's really in your heart and what you're looking for. And just to push into that, you know, and we heard a bit about the seed and also sowing. So the thing, and I actually felt that I nearly prophesied it myself, and I just got some things I was going to share today, so I just thought I'd just say it when I get up here. But it's like some of you, there's one or two people here, and you're actually believing for something, and God's saying, you know, you need to sow your seed. Sow your seed, and then it comes back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's like what you want, you need to sow into God. And that's the aspect of faith, that as we get mature in God, that we can actually trust God and believe God, that what we are really believing for, that we can actually sow into that. And you hear many great men and women of God that have gone on to do great things for God, and they've given up phenomenal stuff, like just sowed cars, houses, homes, into whatever, and then they got back what they wanted. You know, I'm not saying that's what you need to do, go out and sell your home or whatever, but if God says that, you know, that's a different kettle of fish, but you need to know he's saying that. But I just want to say, you know, that there is an aspect of faith that we have to really step into and just see what God actually is able to do. We've had some amazing times up at Darfield. Last week, we nearly worshipped for 2 hours. So our service only goes for an hour and a half. Had Ben Martin was preaching, and I just smiled at him as it got to 8 o'clock, as we finished by 8. You know, and there was two or three times, it was just an amazing time. And then, but after 8 o'clock, you know, I just thought, well, let's just finish. I says to church, let's just finish with the song, and we'll have a cup of tea. And we sung the song, and in the middle of the song, this tongue came on me. And I just, boom, out it went. Well, everything just broke loose again. And we just prayed about, it was all about things coming into alignment. And then the whole house just erupted in these tongues. It was just amazing. It's like it just exploded. It's like God and the angels and everybody turned up, and she was just a ruckus, you know. And it was just quite, it was so powerful, so powerful, you know. And we finished like we were supercharged. And it's just amazing, you know. And so two of the last 3 weeks, you know, we haven't had any preaching, just worshipped, and it just progresses. It's not the same. It's like today, you know, you go into something, next minute we're up and you're sharing this, but people have to step out. If you sit there and you're going to wait, and you sit there and you're going to wait, nothing happens. It's like people, and there's a freedom up there now, I think, in Darfield. They've got that place where, you know, you just abandon and you just go and you do your thing, and people are just doing all sorts of things, but you just come out when it's your time to, you're feeling God say something, and you just lead, and guys are just stepping up. And it just, I'm telling you, it changes the whole house. It changes the worship. You know, worship isn't about just singing a song. It's actually just connecting with God and letting God come down and do some powerful things. And in the midst of that, you know, I turned up at Darfield the other night, and they were just doing a rehearsal. And suddenly the presence of God just come in, and I just says to the team, well, the presence of God's just turned up here right now. Just felt really, really strong. And then suddenly this presence just come right up beside me. I call it the person of God's presence. That's why I always call it the person of God's presence. But it's actually angelic, and it just come right in beside me, just like, and it was as real as someone just standing right beside me. I just wanted to keep putting my arm out and just holding them, and they were right, like about an inch away from me. And even though I moved all around, I went out in the prayer meeting and that, they stuck with me all the time, and we just prayed. And actually, my prayers weren't quite as aggressive as normal, because I was quite, you know, when a presence turns up like that, it's quite, I don't know, it just, not so much overwhelming, but it's just something inside of you. It just takes away all the fleshly desires that you need to try and push or strive to do anything. And you tend to find yourself just slipping in. I was saying to Ben Martin, I was just like, I've just got this presence right beside me. And I actually stood there like this talking to Ben for a while, you know. It was that real. And it was just as real, and it was so strong, and at times it would come really, really strong. And I just sat down a wee bit in the prayer meeting on a bench about as high as a communion table, and I just sort of rested my bottom on there a bit. And this presence just sat right beside me, and then Nikki came in, and she wanted prayer, and she sat on them. And I was sitting there thinking, you've just sat on Jesus sort of thing, you know? It's like, And I had a wee smile to myself, and she was wanting prayer for some stuff, and so I'm praying away, you know, and I had a wee smile, but I didn't feel like, well, they won't be offended, you know, but it was still, and then she's gone away, and it was just still there, and right in the middle, and we were worshipping there at one stage in the church, you know, and I was just worshipping like this, and this presence beside me just said this, it just says, I'm your friend, I'm here with you, I'm your friend. You know, it's just like, yeah, I know you are. It's just like, I'm worshiping God. Be quiet, you know. It was almost what I was like. But I was just thinking, why are you telling me that? And I just stopped and it's like, you're telling me. It's like, you just let me know I'm here with you. I'm here with you. It's like, I'm here with you, you know. And it was just, I'm telling you, just very real. I'm saying this, I mean, because we're coming into some of these encounters with God, that this, because sometimes you hear people say, you know, some great preacher somewhere else, but I'm just telling you, it's so real, it's so natural for God, and you come into that place, and then through the week, I think it was on Thursday, we had a couple of Bethel leadership meetings this week via Skype and or Zoom, they call it, and one of them we were just with our members in Australia and New Zealand and the leader from the States, and we were just giving honor, just to stop, and we were just thanking the Lord, and just like we were there today, we were just randomly, you know, flat out firing things out. Lord, we just thank you for this and this and this. And we just closing our eyes, we just go into our own place, even though we all can see one another, but we're just in there, and then suddenly this presence just turned up again. Just come and sat right in beside me. It was sort of squashed in against because I was close to a windowsill at home, and I just right there, I just, wow, and then I just wanted to prophesy. I felt like this big wave just comes sitting right up over me, ready to break over the top of me. And then the leader just says from and Bethel there, just say, what did you feel? It's like, I didn't hesitate. It's like, man, I've just got this angel presence just right here with me right now. And I just, you know, I got this wave wanting to break over me. And I just started to tell them everything that was just going on. And, you know, and it's so free just to sit there. And they were sharing all their things. And it's just, you know, it's so real just to be relaxed and just being able to relate to people. Doesn't matter where they are in the world. And they're all talking about this things that are happening, which are exciting. And because it was part of our revival group that we just joined, the first thing they do is just like, well, welcome Wayne and Nikki, and tell us a bit about yourself, da 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 da, and here we are. It's just like, righto guys, let's all prophesy over them. So then they all prophesy over us, which is the same old thing that we get in all the time, you know. And Nikki gets some amazing words. You need to understand that with Nikki, you know, in the worship and what she leads here, and they were just confirming it again that, you know, what God's put on her life is the power in the worship and the praise to break chains. To break chains and to shift that. Nikki's had that over her whole life. And in their regionals and that, she used to lead all the regionals down south and different things. And people just loved it. Some of our speakers that we used to bring in all around New Zealand and one or two overseas always would say, you know, it's just like, man, your worship, it's warfare. It breaks through. It shifts things. It brings us into a place like we love getting up and to worship, and not to worship, but preach on the back of your preaching. And so it's just some amazing words that come out again. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you, you know, just to be aware of God. One of the things that we were talking about also was, you know, we feel like I want to come to church and get into God's presence. There isn't a coming in and a going out. There's actually staying in. One of the guys, one of the pastors was saying, you know, I'm at a place where I don't even like to say amen, you know, sort of anymore, because it's like I don't want it to finish there. And it's just coming in and out. And years ago when I was in Africa, we went over there and God just moved really powerful. There was four of us and we just ministered every day. And just every sort of miracle you could imagine was happening, except we never bumped into any cancers for whatever reason. But we had everything else that you can imagine in Africa. And God was just healing everything and everyone. And it was just amazing, you know. And And when I come home, and I think I've told some of you before, and it was just you, it was like a demand gets put on your life when you're over there in some of those countries because of the poverty. And what they're really wanting is money, but it's like Peter and John, silver and gold, you're not going to get from me. But what you're going to get is what I carry. And that's what we did. And you sort of had to rise into that. And the first week or two, it was hard going. We didn't see the healings and that we wanted. We're just getting a few. But by about week three, week four, and then the next month, it was just like, it was just, God was just healing everyone and everything. AIDS, deafness, blindness, everything, you name it. They were just being totally healed. All sorts of stomach things, big pot bellies and big sores, you know, and their legs stink, going gangrene and rotten. You'd smell them coming and all that sort of stuff, you know. And God was just doing, and when we come back, when I come back to New Zealand, I think I told you, we went out into a car park and this person manifests about 50 feet away further than John Legas from myself, started yelling at me, "You keep away from me, Wayne Watson," whatever. And so I never met him in my life. You know, and I was just suddenly aware of what was you were carrying. And when I went to church and people were falling over and different things, but after week three returning back home, people weren't falling over the same. You know, and I just thought, the demand isn't there. But actually, after I was thinking about this, you know, and we were talking about this through the week with some of these guys, is, you know, you're not living in that. Like, you just got to stay in that place. It's like, regardless of where the people put the demand, it's actually understanding who you are in relation to God, and actually in the fathering, and you still have access to that, and you're not ever stepping out of it. You're not stepping out of it, and it's a thing that we have to have a shift in our mindset, and it's part of what we were talking about last week, which I just want to build on. I'm just going to share one parable with you this morning, and then we're going to close, you know, and we're just talking about from salvation to sonship. That's what we've been talking about, and along the way, because I'm actually bashing on the head the servant thing. Now, in the Bible, I know, and if you, I haven't got time to explain all of this, you know, Paul says, "I'm a servant," John says, "I'm a servant, slave," what, all that sort of stuff, but it's a different perspective, and I touched on some of that last week. I haven't got time to go into all of that, but I want us to understand that we were sons. You're either a son or you're a servant, and so I want to just touch on that today, because you've got to shift that mindset. Like, we can say, "Yeah, I'm a son," but we actually come under a servant mind, and while we're functioning under a servant mindset, you're not actually stepping into who God has called you to be, and you're not ministering out of that place that God has called you into. And so if we just go, we went through the whole salvation process last week, you know, and just to show that what we actually have to do in that. So you just need to go online and get that and understand a lot of that. So for time's sake, I'm just going to go straight to Luke chapter 15 today. Before we do, let's just pray for Brent. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord, for just ministering to Brent while he's over there in Pakistan. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your healing power coming on him. Lord, just releasing, Father, every infection. Father, Lord, every bacterial thing, Lord, in his stomach that's causing any stomach or dysentery problems. Father, we just speak into his body health and strength in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we just lift him up before you right now. Father, we say empower him. Father, let him know your anointing coming upon him continually. Lord, let him know, Father, Lord, that you are right there beside him, Father, Lord. Even send an angel, Father, Lord, Lord, to watch over him, to guard him, Lord. Let him even feel, Lord, tangibly feel, Lord, the presence, Lord, of your angel, Lord, just coming to strengthen him and to be with him. Lord, as he ministers, Lord, to the lost, as he ministers, Lord, in those areas of discipleship and teaching, Lord, as he gets around and encourages and strengthens people, Father, we just pray, Lord, that everything he eats, Father, from this day forward, Lord, Lord, would not affect his body or his health in any way. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for keeping him safe from any danger. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, and just, Lord, just comforting Anne, Lord, while he's away, Lord, and just giving her the reassurance and the peace in her heart, Lord, that you are undertaking everything before him in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, just ministering to all the churches here this morning in this place. It just says the parable of the father with two sons. Sometimes we just get locked into the parable of the prodigal son, and we preached that for many years. Actually, if you look up the prodigal of the prodigal son, it actually never headlined that anywhere in the Bible. So you've actually got to go to the father with two sons, and it's really important because there is two sons in this story. It's not just about the prodigal son. It's actually about the other son too. And so it is the story of the parable of the father with two sons. And we want to look at both these sons today because one son was a servant and one was a son. So one was a servant and one was a son. Yet they were both supposed to be sons. One ran away, he come back and was found out who he was, where he belonged, become a son. The other one was always a servant, remained a servant and had a servant's heart and attitude in their mind and never stepped into the sonship, though they never ever left. And so I want to look at that this morning. And so it says here, to illustrate a point further, Jesus told them in this story, a man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate. A son told his father, so we're sons and fathers, told him, I want to share a share of my estate now before you die. So the father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. So he divided his wealth between his sons. So he gave one son his wealth and he gave the other son his wealth. One stayed and one left. But they both had everything that was theirs given to them. We often don't look at this. We think the one that ran away got his wealth and the other one got nothing. But he divided between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all of his money in wild living. And about this time, his money ran out, and a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and so he ended up doing pigs there, verse 17. And when he was finally come to his senses, sometimes we've got to come to a place where we realize what we had and we don't have now. You'll enjoy this parable. And he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants, they're not sons, they're hired servants. So in the story, we have servants and we have sons. And so at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. So I will go home to my father. I will return to my father. I've been a sinner, I've been repenting, like Mark was sharing in his testimony. I'll stop going down to the pub and drinking and swearing and whatever, and I'll go and I'll ask Jesus into my heart and see what happens. And I will say to my father, here's the repentance, I have sinned against you, both heaven and you. So there's an understanding here that Jesus is making this spiritual. It's not just a story. He wants us to understand the spiritual meaning. He's not talking about just earthly things. He's bringing heaven into this so that we understand he's talking about salvation and spiritual things, spiritual matters. And I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. I'm not worthy of being called your son. Please take me as a hired servant. I'll just be a hired servant. I'm not worthy. I'm returning. And so he heads away. Verse 20. And so he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. And so the father was out there looking and filled with love and compassion. We were singing about that today. And that song, and actually that one even before communion, you know, it was talking about this whole prodigal son thing, really. And so filled with love and compassion, we can run into those embracing arms. I draw near to you. Abandoning all of ourselves, surrendering all of ourselves to him, into his embracing arms. And he ran to his son. He didn't run to his servant. He ran to his son because it's like, this is my son. And he embraced him and he kissed him. You see, we sang this morning there, I draw near to you and I come into your embracing arms. This is a prodigal son, this thing that we see here, this son who's returning home. He's returning home and he comes into it, and the father embraces him and kisses him. And his son says to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house. Bring my very best robe that you can find in heaven. The most pure, righteous garment that there is in heaven and out of my house, and bring it and put it on my son who has returned, who is not worthy, but yet I'm giving him all that I have because I love him and I'm restoring him. Bring the very best. I want us to understand this is how God sees us. When we're coming back and we feel like Mark was saying, you know, we're feeling unworthy and we're hiding behind our shame and our inadequacies and everything else. And yet the Father runs and he puts us the finest robe he could find in heaven. And he put it on him and he put that ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And he killed the calf and he says to them, and kill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast for the son of mine. The son of mine. This is my son. I won't hear that he's a servant, but you servants, you need to go and do this. We're going to look at what the servants are in a minute. But he says, this son of mine was dead, and now he has returned to me. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. So there's a party in heaven. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the fields working, and when he returned home, he heard the music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants. So he asked one of the servants, what's going on? Your brother is back. Your brother is back. We're sons. We're family in God. We're not less than. We are brothers. We are sons and daughters of God. We're in this family. And he was told, your father has killed the fatted calf and we are celebrating because of his safe return. We, the servants. We're all celebrating. We, who's we? The servants are doing all the talking. We're celebrating because we return. Who are the servants and who are celebrating in the Father's house? Angels celebrate when one sinner returns. When one sinner returns and is saved. Luke 15:10 says that. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. You see, you're not angels or servants. They're messengers of God. We touched on that briefly last week. I've got more that I could share here today, but we're just not going to get time to it because we're just sticking to this parable. But I want you to understand that we're going to rule over angels. Angels don't get to sit where we're going to sit. Scripture shows that. But here they are. They're messengers and they're servants of God. And here they are in the house and he's saying to the angels, come and gather all this, go and do all this. And they're celebrating like they do, like the scripture says. Here's one sinner coming back. You see, there are sons and there are servants. And Jesus said, we looked at this last week, you know, I don't talk to my servants. A master doesn't talk to his servants. And they don't know, servants don't know. So he talks to them. They don't know what the master is doing because he doesn't tell them what he's doing. He just gives them orders to go and do things. But I call you friends because you're my brother, my sister, who I work with. And we touched on some of that last week. So the older brother was angry and he wouldn't go in. And his father came out and begged him. And he replied, listen to this. All these years I slaved for you. Where's that coming from? All these years I slaved. Mark it in your Bible. All these years I slaved and served for you. You see, he's coming from a servant mentality. He was never being a son. He sat there to serve and to slave when he was actually given his inheritance with the other one. But he just said, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to slave for you. And the father didn't want him to slave for him. That's a slave mentality and not a son mentality. And never once refused to do a single thing you told me. You see, he's still trying to get the father's... Love me, affirm me, Father. Love me. It's like, I need to know that I'm accepted. I need to know that I'm pleasing you. I never refused anything you're doing. I want all of your affection. You see, he's not being a son in the house. It's like the Father already loves him. He's given him everything that he has. He's divided it up. And you can see this with the one son that was lost and come back. And he was out there because his heart was, not because he was the favorite, because he was lost. And he comes back and it's like, no, you're coming back into your place of sonship, not servant. You're not a servant. Servants, you go and get all the stuff and put this on my son because he is my son. I want us to understand that we're not servants. We're not servants. We're not servants. And I've said this before, you know, you can't ever remove out of my vocabulary because I'm going to preach some things that are going to say servant in the scriptures and different things. But when you shift the word serving and put in listening, you get two different things. And too many times as a church, we're running around doing things to feel good about ourselves and to feel that, you know, we're doing something for God. But if you actually stop and ask, well, what is God saying? That's a different thing. Oh, I've been doing this, you know, I've been out there, I've been doing this and this and this, and, you know, and it's just like, yeah, well, what's God saying? And it's the Mary Martha thing. It's like you can be serving forever and a day, or you can be listening, and then when you hear what God is saying, then you can go out and do the will of the Father. Let God minister through you. You don't have to be trying to serve God. You're a son. The servants will serve God. God just wants someone that he can flow through and minister to. And we touched on this. Jesus was the Son of God. Was Jesus the Son of God? Yes, we know he was the Son of God. Yet he said, I become of no reputation. Let this mind be in you, too. He thought not robbery to be equal with God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He wasn't taking something that didn't belong to him. The same with you. You are a son. You're not taking something that didn't belong to you. God wants you to understand, as we see here, everything I have is yours. We are functioning in our mind. Yet he made himself of no reputation. He came and made himself a bondservant to humanity, to reach humanity. And we're still to reach other people. But we're not running around, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. Was Jesus still the Son of God when he was reaching people, when he made himself as a bondservant? Was he still the Son of God? And the answer was, yes, he's still the Son of God. And he never ever shifted. He said, no power is given to you except to come from above. It's like, you don't take my life. I lay my life down, Pilate, or anybody else. If he needed to, he walked right through. It's why Judas sold him out. Because Judas knew nobody could get Jesus. Jesus had the power to do whatever he wanted. So he said, this is a safe bet. I can make a fortune here and watch Jesus walk free. But Jesus was at that place where he's ready to lay his life down, because he chose to lay his life down because that's what the Father was wanting to do, to reach humanity, because he loves people. He loves his family. He wants every one of us to come back. And so he's saying, will you lay down your life and let me flow through you to reach these people? You see, it's like, will you lay down your life so that you can save people? Because he wants to reach everybody. But if we're going to sit like this brother, the other brother in the church, in the Father's house, and be condemning because it's like, well, you know, I'm serving you, but we're not actually doing the will of the Father. We're not taking our inheritance and going out and reaching the lost. In fact, we criticize the lost when they come into the house. Because he's not being a son. He's not carrying the Father's heart. He's actually too busy serving because he's looking for approval, and he's looking for, you know, I've done this all of these years and you haven't come, and I haven't refused anything you've done, Father. I've done all of this, and what have you done for me? What have you done for me? It's just like you haven't given me anything. It's like, son, everything I have is yours. What do I need to do that for you? I've done everything. I've paid the price. It's all done. We're about saving these lost people. But he's still busy serving himself in the Father's house. He's in church, but he's serving his own agenda. He's serving. He's still wanting the affirmation. He's self-righteous. He's condemning. And yet he's got a servant's mentality. He's not acting like a son. He's not thinking like a son. All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do any one single thing you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back, this son of yours, now he's differentiating, like he's now a third person. But when this son of yours comes back, you see, he's not putting himself in the same family. He's an orphan. He's actually separated himself out. See, I'll talk about orphans for a minute, we'll carry on. Yet when the son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf. And his father says to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. Just never ever done anything with it. Why? Because he's serving. He never did anything with everything he had. You know this parable of the talents? This one here is like the one who got one and buried it. He never did anything with everything that he was given. He was, the father divided up his inheritance. To one son he gave his, to the other son he gave his inheritance. They had their inheritance. One took it and wasted it, but come back. And I want to say for the one that went away, I'll finish with this, but the son lost his true identity because he was too busy serving. This is the son that stayed. He lost his true identity because he was too busy serving. He never recognized who he was or what was at his disposal. It's like, well, the father hasn't given me a fatted calf, so I can't kill one. He never did anything. It's like, go and kill your own fatted calf. Celebrate. He was acting like a son. He wasn't acting like a son. He was being a servant. And as a church, we have to examine what we really believe we are in Christ. That we are true sons and daughters. And understand what we have spiritually inherited. What we've actually, it's like he divides, it's like, this is yours. So he goes to Anne, he said, Anne, this is all yours. So she can pray with confidence for her husband in Pakistan. Verse 32, we had to celebrate this happy day, the father's saying, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and now he's found. We have to celebrate this day. This whole parable is about understanding God's love for us and his desire to have relationship restored. This parable demonstrates how God is restoring every lost person back into their rightful place in the house as a son and a daughter, not a servant. I will go back and I will say, I'm not worthy. Was he worthy? No, he wasn't worthy. But the father didn't care because this was his son and he was bringing him in. God loves us so much he gave his only son for the whole world. The parable demonstrates how we can never be servants. Because we are sons and daughters. You can't be a servant because God's going to come and gather you and say, no, you're my son. You can never be a servant unless you choose just to be, well, I'm going to do this, like the older brother. You can never be a servant because God's always going to establish you as a son or a daughter. When you come back, he's saying, yes, my son. You can never be a servant. It's important to note, it's the son who was lost who got to find out who he really was. Suddenly he didn't have anything and he looked back and he thought, whoa, this is what I had. Even the servants in my father's house has got that. And it's like, wow, I can go back. Life and its circumstances had brought him to a place that he realized that he would be better off returning to his father. For many unsaved people, life's difficulties bring them back to God. Now, I'm going to say this today. Don't feel sorry for people who are going through pain and hardship. Don't feel sorry for people. Just help them find their way back to the Father. Don't feel sorry. This is the best time of their life where they find what they don't have. I don't like going through it, but having gone through what I've gone through, I understand who God is. I understand who I am and where I've come from. I understand that. Or if they're a Christian, already a Christian, help them find the Father's love and their true identity. As Christians, we can still go through hardships and pain and hurt. And like the son in the story, we get to repent and find our true worth. We get to repent. Even as Christians, sometimes we've got to say, Lord, I've been getting this a bit wrong. I'm sorry. And it's silly little things. It's like, Lord, I've been thinking that I have to be with a heap of people in your presence and wanting this worship and whatever to feel good. It's like, and actually you've already given me this. It's like, sorry, Lord. It's like, I realize I'm actually taken for granted what you've really done, that I have access into that all the time. You know, sometimes as you go on, it's silly little things that you think, wow, God, you've done that, and why couldn't I see that? And the Father restores them back into their true identity as sons and daughters. The sad thing is that too often the church falls into the category of the second son. As I was saying before, because we never realize that we are a son, and we're too busy serving and trying to get the Father's approval, or at least feel that God is happy with us. How often do we like to think, well, God's happy with me, I'm doing this and this, and or it's just like, oh, I should have done that, I don't, oh, God won't be happy with me, and we beat ourselves up. God's not sitting over thinking, I'm really ticked off with you at the moment because you didn't share my testimony at that person. He's not going to beat you up. It's like learning. You know, when you have your own children and you see them get up to walk and then they fall over, you don't say, you silly kid. It's like, why didn't you keep on walking and give them a hiding? We don't do that. We say, yes, we celebrate that you took two steps and fell over. And so when you're growing in your testimony, your witness, and you're getting up to do something, it's just like, whoa, I don't know if I'll share it here. I'm just a bit like that. And you fall over and you stumble. And God celebrates the fact that you realize, whoa, I've hit a wall here. And it's like, I nearly did it, but I didn't. It's not the negative that God's focusing on. It's the positive, because you've seen some things. You've learned some things about yourself. It's the stepping. It's just a natural thing. We're growing as baby Christians. We're growing up and seeing things. So God's not sitting at you saying, well, you're a failure. You didn't do that, what you should have done today. He doesn't do that. You see, but when we're thinking from a servant mentality, we're thinking, God's not pleased with me. And actually, we're a son. And you just think about your own son. Or if you're still young, your brothers and sisters, and how mum and that looked at you. And if you had a bad experience because of a father or mother, then look at other ones, you know, because sometimes people get, we're in a fallen world, and we have people that aren't good parents like they should, or brothers and siblings that haven't acted like they should because of the brokenness in their heart and their life and the things that are in their past. And so we've got to understand how God sees us. We have to realize that we don't have to deserve God's love, because we don't. He already loves us. And we see that with the son. He's stinking, smelly, spent all the money he gave him, and he comes back and he accepts him. He didn't deserve it. And he didn't try to deserve it. He just wanted to say, I'm sorry, just make me a servant. He says, no way. You see, the love is always there. The love is always there. God's always going to love you. Always going to love you and bring you in. But we've got to see that. You know, we've got to receive that. When we can't love ourselves, it's hard to let God love us. We have to see this as his son was. And then as a son, we have to realize what we have. And then all we have to do is ask. You don't have because you don't ask. And then sometimes we go asking for a whole lot of stuff. It's got nothing to do with God. God won't hesitate to restore you back into full inheritance as a son and a daughter. He won't hesitate. There was the parable of the lost coin, but I might talk about that next week. No, I won't be here next week. Next week I'll be up in Darfield because we have a morning service. So the week after. Be the week after? Might be the week after. Might not be the week after. We got some missionary people coming to speak. But I want to talk about this some more to get us a full understanding of who we are. There's plenty here, I'm telling you. I just want to keep challenging the servants and sonship, and giving us a full understanding. There's some amazing stories in the Bible that God actually wants to communicate to us, to shift away that we have to serve and, you know, please God and do a whole lot of things. It's like, it's not. It's not. It's not like that. And the more you get to do this, the more you come into this place of sonship, the more your identity shifts. And Things that once troubled you in the past don't trouble you as much. You don't crumble when circumstances come your way. You know, I was going to speak into some of these things, but it's in my next wee passage, you know, about some of our fears and hurts and shames, and because it's tied up in this prodigal son thing too. And understanding that, just bringing it down a lower level. So to meet us where we're really, because I want us to be able to apply this on a daily basis of where we really are at, where the rubber meets the road. You know, what does the sun look like when the rubber meets the road tomorrow and the next day, and when things aren't going well? We have to understand that, you know, there's some things that God really wants us to step into and to be. And so I'll stop there. So just embrace some of that stuff that we talked about today, and just keep thinking about, you know, what are you saying to me, Lord? Because I can tell you now, everything, when I'm sitting there and listening, now I've given some leaders, and we're going to have some more books available, you just got to bear with me. I've got a book called, what is it called? Kingdom Culture. They're quite expensive. I got Danny to bring a heap of these in. All the leaders, the home group leaders, will get one, so hang around for a bit and I'll give you one. It's like there's a lot of journaling in here. It takes a long time to process. There's a lot of scriptures to look at. There's a lot of writing to do. Just feel if you need to come down and maybe do a bit of photocopying, especially if a husband and wife, if you want to do your own section. That's what Nikki and I do. Because you've got to do a lot of journaling. And part of this is it actually examines yourself and has a look about who you are. And you start to listen to God. And everything I'm hearing God say is actually how much he believes in me, how much he affirms me, you know, how he's right behind me. I mean, there's nothing negative. It's like, and so it's really important. One of our values that you'll see if you go out in the foyer there now is listening. It's important to listen, to hear what the Lord is saying. Whenever the Lord is speaking to you, to actually hear what he's saying, because we need to hear. Stop doing so much. Stop serving and do a bit of listening. Jesus says, you know, I send my servants out. I tell them to go, and away they go and do their things. They're busy serving. But you, he says, I just want to talk to. And there's a scripture, Revelation 3:21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking to the church. He's talking to a church. And he said, if you'll open the door, if you actually hear me knocking, I'll come in and sup with you. And we're going to do some better talking, you and I. We're going to do some talking. And then it says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying. That means listen. And after every one of those seven churches, it says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. That's all about listening. You see, but we're too busy serving. Now we've got to do things. It's like, no. Jesus talks about, therefore, hear what this thing he says. Jesus often says, so listen, listen, listen. Stop doing some things and start hearing some things. Stop serving and start listening. Mary and Martha. Martha tried to make Mary do what she felt was important. And Jesus says, you will not do that, Martha. This will not be taken away from Mary. She's chosen the better thing. Listen. Hear God's heart. Any other given day, Mary would have been running around like Martha. But it's like, listen. We're shifting from sonship. See, salvation. Title of our word is from salvation to sonship. We're saved, what now? We're saved, what now? And it'll open you up. Like today you had a wee taste as a church, and I'm just telling you, there's more. There's more, way more than that. It's like, but you've got to abandon it more and just let it go. And shout, come up the front, jump around with me and do whatever. Like, if you haven't got enough room, just get out and let's, you know, connect with the Lord and come into a place where we can just encounter God and let him come in and speak and do some things. I love the supernatural. It's just so normal for God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Father, we thank you that you're speaking into our hearts and into our lives today. Lord, that you are allowing us to encounter our true identity. We encounter you in a different way that we've seen you, in a different light that we've seen you before. And Father, we love you. Probably not as much as you love us, but we love you. And we're thanking you, Lord, that you have called us and chosen us and you've graced us enough to allow us to receive what you're hearing. Father, thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you for opening our ears. Lord, we thank you for that seed that you're planting in our hearts today. of new things that you're going to be doing. Amen. This word's just a continuation of what God was actually saying if you were listening in the meeting today. And so I just want to encourage you just to, you know, hear. Some things are coming out, you've got a phone or a piece of paper, write some of these things down. Write them down. We should always do this because, you know, you say, oh, that was really good today, but you walk away and you haven't heard anything. You say, that was really good, but what did you hear today? What did you hear God saying today? Well, it was just really good. I felt really good. We're not here for feelings. We're here to listen and to understand what God's saying so we can step into it. And then meditate on some of the stuff. Let it sit on you. And when God reveals himself and he does some things, he does it for a purpose. But the thing that made Jesus so angry is when he would say things to people and they wouldn't listen. You know, they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hear. Bless you today. We're going to have a